Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
From Australia, Israel's government is reeling from developments in the international legal and diplomatic spheres. On Wednesday, Ireland, Norway and Spain said they would formally recognize the state of Palestine on May 28th, drawing praise from many Arab and Muslim states and fury in Jerusalem. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the move amounted to a reward for terror after Hamas launched its October 7th attack, which sparked the Gaza war. Israel said it was recalling its envoys to Dublin, Oslo and Madrid for urgent consultations. Foreign Minister Israel Katz summoned the envoys of the three countries in Israel for what he described as severe reprimands. On Thursday, they were shown footage of the kidnapping of five female Israeli soldiers on October 7th amid Hamas's shock assault, footage which was made public on Wednesday evening. Spain's ambassador, Ana Salomon Perez, said afterwards that it was shocking. The other ambassadors made no comment. Irish Prime Minister Simon Harris called the October 7th attack barbaric, but stressed that a two-state solution is the only way out of the generational cycles of violence, retaliation and resentment. According to the Palestinian Authority, 142 of the 193 UN member countries already recognize a Palestinian state. They hailed Wednesday's moves as historical. Hamas also welcomed an important step towards affirming our right to our land, and Bassem Naim, a senior Hamas political bureau member, said it would mark a turning point in the international position on the Palestinian issue. Political analyst Ines Abdulrazek, who heads the Palestine Institute for Public Democracy, called the decision symbolic but not a great victory. She said what was needed was actual measures, including sanctions and arms embargoes against Israel. The announcement on Monday by the International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor, Karim Khan, that he has applied for arrest warrants against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defence Minister Yoav Gallant for crimes against humanity in the war against Hamas in Gaza came as a shock to Israel. Alongside the Israeli leaders, Khan also announced that he's seeking arrest warrants for Hamas's senior leadership, Yahya Sinwar, Mohammed Deif and Ismail Haniyeh. Israel is outraged that democratically elected leaders should be put in the same category as terrorists. Should the warrants be granted by the court's judges, Netanyahu would join the ranks of Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, former Sudanese despot Omar al-Bashir and the now deceased tyrant of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, all national leaders against whom arrest orders have been issued. Should such arrest warrants be issued, Netanyahu and Gallant would essentially become wanted men in 124 countries around the world, including almost every major nation other than the US. By the time this report goes to air, the International Court of Justice will have delivered its ruling regarding South Africa's request to halt Israel's Rafah offensive in Gaza. In its fourth submission to the International Court of Justice last week, South Africa requested a new emergency measures over Israel's incursion in Rafah as part of its ongoing case of accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza. These measures are an additional to the 9 provisional measures requested by South Africa in its first submission to the court in January, which included a call for Israel to halt military operations in Gaza. The court did not deliver this key order, but called on Israel to ensure its troops do not commit genocidal acts against Palestinians in Gaza and to allow more humanitarian aid to flow in and to preserve any evidence of violations. The court ordered Israel to report back on its compliance with the measures within 1 month. Last week, one of South Africa's representatives at the hearing, Professor Vaughan Lowe, told the ICJ that the provisional measures already issued to Israel by the court were not effective in protecting Palestinians against genocide. He urged the court to reassert its own authority and the authority of international law. Israel's representatives told the court that South Africa's case was completely divorced from the facts and circumstances and made a mockery of the heinous charge of genocide. Should the court rule against Israel, the ongoing war in Gaza will be considered illegal, and this will force countries offering tacit or substantial support to reconsider their involvement. All these international developments, including a trade embargo imposed by Turkey, which has led to a shortage of new cars and car parts, among other things, are unlikely to bring about a fall of the current government. The ongoing war with its high death toll, the failure to secure a release of the hostages, the failure of the Prime Minister to accept any responsibility for October 7th, and other major criticisms of the government are also not reflected in polls, which still give the right bloc a majority. Benny Gantz's threat to withdraw from the government in 3 weeks will not cause it to fall. However, one issue may become the decisive one in bringing down the current coalition, the issue of the recruitment of Haredim to the IDF. The Haredi parties with 18 seats are crucial to the survival of the government. The temporary legislation which exempted them expired on April 1st. This legislation itself was an extension of a previous law, and there are still claims that funding yeshivot under the extension was beyond the scope of the law. There were numerous petitions against the exemptions. The Defence Ministry announced in February that at the current rate of enlistment, it will need to lengthen IDF service for recruits from 32 to 36 months, adding to the pressure. In late February, the High Court ordered the state to respond to petitions against the temporary government resolution from June 23, and the state affirmed that it would submit a statement on planned legislation to address the issue by March 24th. And acknowledged that it had failed to put forth a bill and that the Haredim would be subjected to the draft on April 1st, were there not one. Attorney General Maariv Bi'ara, following the High Court of Justice ruling, informed the government that there was no legal basis to continue exempting Haredi men from conscription. The Finance Ministry informed the government that continuing to fund yeshivas that protected men from conscription was likely illegal. This led Sephardi Chief Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, who last week was awarded the Israel Prize, to say, if you force us to go to the army, we'll all move abroad. The deadline passed, and the government asked the court for an extension. Following that, the government published a position paper arguing that there's no need to immediately conscript ultra-Orthodox men to the IDF, and that the government can continue funding the yeshiva in which they study until the end of the year. They argued that the absence of legislation allowing mass abstention from service does not automatically mean that the state is obligated to order a mass conscription. 3 weeks ago, one day after the court's latest deadline, the government returned to the court with a submission requesting another extension to finalise legislation that would immediately draft at least some ultra-Orthodox men into the army and include a programme for longer-term conscription from that community. Despite certainty that it is not acceptable to his Haredi coalition partners, Prime Minister Netanyahu on Wednesday responded to the court and announced he had decided to advance a conscription bill drafted by Benny Gantz, which had passed its first reading under the previous government. The previous day, the Israel Democracy Institute released research that found that the 22 conscription bill would lead to a gradual increase in Haredi manpower and consequently a gradual reduction in the days of reserve service from 24 days in 2025 to 13 days in 2050. Without it, at the current rate of recruitment, compulsory service will be extended. Last week, Yesh Atid MK Moshe Tulpaz said in an interview that the Haredi MKs acknowledged behind closed doors that a significant increase in Haredi enlistment into the IDF can only happen if the Haredi parties remain out of government for a sustained period of time. According to Tulpaz, Yesh Atid's leading liaison to Israel's Haredi parties, Haredi MKs admitted in conversations with him that between one-third to a half of military-aged Haredi men do not actually study in yeshivot, and thus if they're drafted to the IDF, the world of Torah study will not be harmed. However, Haredi constituents will not accept a move by their representatives in the Knesset to push for IDF service, and the Haredi MKs themselves acknowledge that in order for real change to happen, it must be when they're outside government. This, and not the war or hostages or even a judicial overhaul, and not international pressure, may be the issue that causes the collapse of the current government. but maybe not. This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.